Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
I like to start the service off by saying, God is good. You say all the time. I say all the time. You say, God is good. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Especially on church on a Sunday morning. Amen?
Amen.
Well, it's good to be back. Thank you, Pastor, for the honor of being here today. I'm excited about tonight. And I was telling Brother Bob Fenton, I said, isn't it something that you and I this year, not one of us, harvested a deer? And we're the main speakers of Outdoors Night. So we're just going to lie a little bit, amen? No, can't do that. But it's going to be an exciting night. And Brother Bob's got the main part of the service. He's got great videos, a great lesson, and I have the introduction part. But, you know, every year when you have this type of outreach, there's people that come here that are not saved. But they leave here saved. Amen? And last year, you had John Paul Moody and Rusty, and what an incredible job they did last year. John Paul, actually, him and his wife were 46 years old, and they had a son at that age, born in December. Amen? And he wanted to come, but he says, no, I committed 1 year to stay home to help my wife. I'm not traveling too much, but we're honored to be here. I appreciate it. Even I'm ready because I got my camel Bible. Amen?
Yeah.
Getting in the mood. Tonight, I'm wearing camel socks. Amen. I want you to turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to turn there and just hold your place there. We're going to end there this morning, and appreciate the Fentons and the hospitality that they have shown us and allowing us to stay in their room downstairs. It really is a blessing. It reminds me of the lady who made that chamber for Elijah. Amen? But he didn't have what we have. Amen. But he was blessed beyond measure. This morning, I want to share a message out of Luke chapter 10. So when you're ready, you could turn there. And I'm blessed to have my precious wife with me today. Sometimes she's not able to come, but today she's here. So, Darlene, can you please stand? This is my wife, Darlene Ritchie. Amen? We'll be married on, 5 years? March 26th. And the reason why I met her is because of that man right at the end. It's all his fault. Amen? Because I said I would never date and never marry again unless God puts a godly lady in front of me. And where was she sitting way back in January 2020? Right in front of me. Amen? God's good all the time. Well, I want to share a message this morning, and the title is called A Rejoicing People. I've been in a lot of churches. I'm traveling a lot. You know, the ministry that God has given me and called me to is called Grief Recovery Outreach International Ministry now. Of course, we're live streaming into Pakistan. And, of course, you know, it's mainly a country that's Islam. That's what they're all about. I think 1% of the millions there are Christians. So there's a need for the gospel in Pakistan and a need for grief recovery. And we love what we do. We have 6 churches now in Florida that we kind of set up grief share. Of course, we set up this one. We have another one in New York City, another one in Montana, another one in Virginia. So that's 10 churches. Now, you have a normal church planting missionary, which is the heart of missions. And then you have local missionary evangelists like what I do that goes to churches like Open Bible. And you have a lot of outreach. But this ministry is more of an inreach. Amen? Because there's a lot of needy people that are broken and grieving. I know, I was one of them. And by the way, you do get through it, but you don't get over it. Amen? You don't, until you get to heaven. But in so many churches, when I'm in these churches, there's no joy. Even after the service, people look like they're leaving the same way they came in. That shouldn't be. Amen? There should be a change. I mean, you know, this is why we come here. We come here to, you know, bless the Lord. I come here to, you know, to be blessed of the Lord as well, because I need to be changed every day. Amen? And so as we take a look at this Luke chapter 10, we'll begin in verse 1. Dr. Luke writes, after these things. Well, what is he talking about after these things? Well, he's referring to chapter 9. And what he's talking about is that he commissions of the 12, and I enjoyed this morning's Sunday school class about the apostles. We're looking at John, and I want to encourage you, if you're not in the Sunday school class here at the church, get plugged in. Because it's all about this right here. And you can't get enough, amen? And I want to encourage you, just really good this morning, kind of confirm what I'm going to share about today. So we see in chapter 9 that he commissions the 12, And then the incredible miracle of feeding of the 5,000. Then one of my favorite miracles is when he takes Peter, James, and John up to the mountain, and there he's transfigured in all of his glory before these three men. And then Elijah and Moses show up. But it gets better because they hear the Father's voice. Can you imagine that transfiguration up there? So that's chapter 9. That's why he's saying after these things. And, of course, then as they're coming down the mountain, the rest of the disciples failed to cast out a demon spirit from this boy, and the father was pretty upset about it. And Jesus said this, this kind doesn't come out only by prayer and fasting. You know, one of the things I think that we need to get back to as a church is a day of fasting. Especially see that our country, you know, and I mean, I believe we're in the last days. I believe the Lord's coming. Every morning I wake up, I wonder why I'm not on Golden Streets. Amen? But it's coming. One day it's coming. We need to be ready. Amen? And we need to be prayed up. And so that's kind of where we are, where he says after these things. And now when we take a look at the rest of the portion of Scripture. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. Not 70 apostles, but 70 disciples. And sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. So picture this. He's got 70 men. He's going to send them out two by two. Before he gets there, he wants these men to go out on a short-term mission trip. That's really what they're doing. And then he says this, and this is a very common verse of Scripture used in missions especially. Verse 2 says, therefore, said he, Jesus, said unto them, the harvest truly is great. By the way, that's what we're praying about tonight, especially in this church. We're praying about a great harvest of souls. Amen?
Amen.
That's really what we're praying about. And you need to pray for that tonight, because we can't do it without your prayers, without God's presence. Amen? Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Well, guess what? The laborers will be here. The harvest fields come to our church. Amen? At Outdoorsman Night. I'm excited about it. Now watch what he says here. Jesus says, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth. The first thing I see here about this trip they're going on, mission trip, I see that it's a divine calling. Jesus said, I send you forth. Amen? And do you realize every person in this church that God has also sent you forth as well? Because when you leave this church, you're on the mission field. Amen? He says, I send you forth. I see a divine calling. It's from the Lord. And then he says this. He says, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. That's not too encouraging. I not only see a divine calling, I see a dangerous calling. But he compares the men as lambs because they need to be like lambs, harmless and pure and gentle. But you're going to be going out there among wolves. He also said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. But then he tells them how they need to conduct themselves while you're around those kind of people. Amen? He says this. He gives them the command. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, I don't like snakes. Anybody here like snakes? You like snakes? Oh, man. Always one in a crowd. Amen? I don't like them. I don't like bees. I don't like snakes. And I don't like lima beans. What does that have to do with this? I have no idea. Amen. But here he's telling them to be wise as a serpent and harmless like a dove. Now, I love doing Sunday school lessons. I love preaching about the animals of the Bible, God's great outdoors. I just love it. One of the things about a serpent is this. When he's talking about wise as a serpent, how is a serpent wise? Well, it's the only animal God created that never closes its eyes. Never. When you see one sunning itself on the rock, he has a clear eyelid that goes down and his eyes are open. If that snake sees any movement or threat, it's going. It's going to hide itself. And so what he's saying, while you're out there on this divine calling I'm sending you on, there's going to be some really violent people out there, mean, evil, like wolves. So I want you to be wise as a serpent, and I want you to be harmless as a dove, but keep your eyes open. Amen? Be watchful. Amen? Just be careful. And by the way, if God be for you, who could be against you? So, So he says, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. So we see a divine calling. We see a dangerous calling. And now we'll see a directed calling. He's not going to send them out with any directions. He's going to tell them what to do, not to do, what to say, what not to say. And isn't it like today? Don't we have directions from the Word of God of what to do, what not to do? Amen? And the Bible says here in verse 3, in verse number 4, carry neither purse nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, now he's going to tell them what to say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it, but if not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And then he says, and into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you. Now, I'm glad he's referring this to these 70 men. And I'm going to leave that right there. Because if I'm ever going to go in some of these countries and they put something in front of me to eat and it's still moving, I'm not eating it. Ain't happening. And I've been invited to go to the Philippines and they have this thing in this egg called baluk and it's like a half-grown egg. I'm not eating it. Amen? I want some pasta, meatballs, sauces and peppers, egg. Rigatoni, you know, with vodka sauce. That's what I want. I don't want something that's moving. Amen? Oh, I could tell you stories. We'd be here till 2 o'clock, but we got to go. Amen? So he says this. And in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you. Eat such things as are set before you. And now we're going to get into specifics. What is this mission outreach all about? What is this journey? What are they going to be doing for the Lord, for his glory? Well, it's going to be a healing mission. He says this, and heal the sick. So he's going to give them the authority and the power to heal the sick. Amen? That are therein. And say unto them, now he's going to tell them a little message. These words, that's it. The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. That's it, guys. This is what I want you to share. This is the message. Here's a sermon. As you prepare them for me to come, this is what you need to say. And into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, now he's going to give more directions on what to say, what to do. Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. So as they're leaving and they share their hearts, you know, they're trying to be, you know, nice about it, but they're kind of putting them in their place. They still get the message that Jesus gave them. They're not going to leave there without giving them the message that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. So this morning, before we get into the heart of the message, would you join me as we ask the Lord to bless it? Amen, and help me. Our Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, this is the day you've made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you, Lord, that nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Thank you for all the precious promises in the Word of God. More for us as your children, it's more than just a song. It's a way of life. Thank you. Thank you for your presence, and thank you for Jesus. I pray now you bless the message. Help me, Lord, to hide behind the cross, and may your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to grab some water here. So, you guys ready? Amen. Who's ready? Say amen.
Amen.
Wow, man, they're ready to go. Amen. All right, here we go. Verse 12. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. So now he's kind of encouraging them about the ones who are going to be rejecting you, rejecting the message that I want to give you, rejecting the power to heal, and just don't want anything to do with you. He says, I'm just going to let you know that judgment is coming to those cities. The judgment is coming to those places and those people who reject you and reject your message and reject what I'm giving you to do for his glory. Amen? And so he gives a list of these places, and this goes from 12, 13, 14, and 15. And then he gets to verse 16, which is really encouraging. I think it should be encouraging for every Christian, especially for those of us in the ministry. He says, "And he that heareth you, heareth me." Is that true? Can they sense the gracious words out of our mouth and the love of Jesus when we speak and tell them about Jesus? Amen? That's not always true with me, because sometimes my temper affects that. Amen? I have an Italian temper, and that's a problem sometimes, right? Hey, what's the matter for you, right? Hey, forget about it. "And he that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despises you, despises me." Now that's encouraging. He's trying to say, guys, don't take it personal. I'm sending you out on this mission trip. I'm giving you power and authority to heal. And I'm telling you what to say, what not to say, and how to respond to these people who reject you. But just remember, those who reject you, reject the message I've given you and the mission I'm putting you on, they're despising me. Amen? They're not despising you, because I'm sending you out there. It's not like you're on your own. You're going to do this because think this is what you're going to do. No, you're in my will. You're doing what I've called you to do. And when you get rejected and you are despised, you're despising me. Amen? When you share the gospel of the Lord, they're rejecting his message. That's his message. It's all about him. Amen? So don't take it personal. And then it says, "He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despises you, despises me, and he that despises me, despises him that sent me." Whoa, that's double trouble right there. Amen? Watch this, verse 17. "And the 70 returned again with" what? Joy. You know, again, this morning in my devotions, I was in Psalm 98, and the Lord again confirmed the message that God's given me, and also in Sunday school. As I read Psalm 78 this morning, this is my morning devotion. I just want to share a couple things. It says, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." And we did. "For he had done marvelous things, and his right hand and his holy arm has gotten him victory." I love the banners over here. "The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness has he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He has remembered his mercy and his truth towards the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." Now watch this, verse 4. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." Well, anyone who's making a joyful noise is a rejoicing person. Amen? "And all the earth make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise." Amen? We're supposed to be rejoicing people. I mean, it's all throughout the scripture. You know, when you read through the Bible, take a look how many times that word rejoice is mentioned in the Word of God. It's for us. The world don't know anything about rejoicing in the Lord. Amen? Remember that song? "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Amen. And of course, and it just kept going with about the joy of the Lord and making a joyful. And I love verse number 8 says, "And let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful." Amen. I mean, all throughout the Bible is joy of the Lord and rejoicing as God's people. And so the thing we see here is these guys come back. They're excited. They're coming back with joy. And by the way, this morning in Sunday school, in the last portion of the scripture in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible said, "In these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full." Amen? And I'm praying this morning as we continue to study here for a little bit, I'm praying that the things that the Lord wrote to us this morning, that when you leave here, if your joy tank is half full or empty, that you will leave full. Overflowing. So when you walk out of here, people can say, "There's something different. Why is he smiling like that?" Well, not because you're high on something. You're high on Jesus. Amen? I got a tie on here that says, "I'm hooked on Jesus." Amen? I hope you're hooked on him. So, all right, let's see what goes on here. "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us." Does it stop there? No. "Through thy name." They couldn't do this without his power or his authority. And they gave him all the glory. And they're coming back excited because part of the healing power of God and the authority they were given by Jesus is the power to deliver people who were demon-possessed. Amen. And they didn't have any sad stories, no defeats, nothing. They came back with victory in Jesus. Amen. And when you come back like that, you're going to come back full of joy. So watch this. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. By the way, he is a created being. He's an angel, Lucifer. He's not all powerful. He doesn't know everything. He can't be in all places at all times. He only can be in one place at one time. But unfortunately, he was able to deceive one third of the angels who were cast out with him, who were part of his army, who these men had victory over. Amen? He said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Whoa, okay, wait a minute. I'm seeing some of the reasons why. Now, these guys come back fired up, full of the joy of the Lord, because they had victory in their ministry. But now I think the Lord has given us some of the reasons why we could be rejoicing people. I see the first thing here. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Whoa, every Christian has the power of God. Amen. We've got the Holy Spirit. Amen. We've got the dunamis. We've got that power within us. And that's why it's very important for you to maintain a daily walk with God every morning, every night, on your knees in the Word, begging God for His Spirit to be filled in you and to have control of you. Amen. Amen. We discussed that too in Sunday school. And so he says that. And then he said, this is good. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So I see, one of the reasons why you and I could be rejoicing people is we've got the power of God. Amen. Amen. Now, there's some people out there that are religious. They think they're going to go to heaven because they're following rules and regulations and sacraments and whatever. They're not. And they have no power. Amen. But you, as a child of God, God's given you that power. And if God be for you, who could be against you? And greater is he that's with you than he that's in the world. Amen. Those are God's promises. And so as you take a look at that, so I see the power of God. I see the protection of God here should give you a rejoicing spirit. And then he says this, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You got God's protection. I mean, I'm talking divine protection, God's protection. You know, we've seen, well, three of the Sight and Sound, you know, productions, and we saw Daniel, Moses, and Friday we saw Joshua. I mean, I encourage you to go see that. You know, as I watch these productions and that the Bible's coming to life and I see all that's happening here, I'm so fired up because I serve the same God. And my Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Yeah, I got so excited, you know, they started out with, of course, Joshua and Moses is over there, and, you know, the Red Sea, you know, parts, and I'm thinking, what a mighty God we serve. Amen. That I serve him. I serve that same God. Amen. I'm thinking about the God's protection. You know, then I think about in the book of Exodus, in chapter 9, and they mentioned when the two spies came, they didn't really want to tell them who they were. They said they're from Egypt, and of course they were. And they said, well, where are you from? Goshen. And after a while, they said, no, wait a minute. Only the God's people lived in Goshen. That's where they lived. And they said, no, they knew right away they were Hebrews. But do you realize in Goshen is another miracle? In Exodus chapter, I believe it's 7 or 9, it was the seventh plague. And that day the Lord was going to rain down hail and lightning on who was ever left in the field. And the Bible says only in the land of Goshen, where the people of God were, there was no hail. That's divine protection. God had the grace and mercy umbrella over those people in that place. Amen. We serve the same God. So why aren't you smiling today? It should be like the seven dwarfs. Hi ho, hi ho, it's off to church I go. Amen. I like to sing one. Chock full of nuts is that heavenly coffee. Right? That's the kind of coffee we're going to have. We're going to have angel food cake up there. And pasta fazool. Hey. Angel hair pasta. Amen. So I see the power of God produces joy, and the protection of God produces joy. Now, mind you, these guys come back rejoicing. They had victory over the devils. But, you know, there were some boys in the book of Acts thought they were going to make a business out of exorcism. Remember that story? It's in the book of Acts, chapter 19. You don't need to turn there. These are vagabond Jews, like gypsies, and these seven boys thought, you know what? We're gonna go around and make some money. We're gonna exorcise people. We're gonna get some devils out. You know, they've been impressed by what Paul was doing and the power of God and the miracles, so they think they're gonna do it. And they find this guy that had a demon, and they go over him. You know, I adjure you by who Paul preaches. But, you know, Jesus, you know, the one that Paul's preaching. And the demon says, wait a minute. Jesus we know. And Paul I know. But who are you? Who are you? And then the spirit, that evil spirit, jumped on those seven boys and beat them and ripped them to pieces. And by the time they left, they were wounded and naked. Why? They had no divine protection. They had no divine power. At all. They might have been religious businessmen, but they certainly weren't saved. Amen? They weren't rejoicing when they left that day. They come home to their dad. I could just picture, what happened to you guys? You better go back to whatever business you had before, because this ain't working, guys. Amen. And so we see the power of God produces joy, and the protection of God produces joy. And, you know, I just remember, I love reading the book of Job, and, you know, Job chapter 1, verse 10. Satan's kind of talking to the Lord, says, has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? He was hedged in. And as a Christian, you're hedged in. You have divine protection from the Lord himself. And if he's got to use angels to protect you, he will. Amen? Just like he did Daniel. I mean, you know how they conspired. They hated Daniel, envied Daniel. They throw him in the lion's den. And, of course, you know, the next day they opened up the mouth of the lion's den. And King Darius, Daniel, servant of the Most High God, you down there? Are you okay? And he goes, hey, yo, yeah, I'm okay. No. Yes, King, live forever. God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. Angels are still used by God for us, for our protection. I mean, that should get you excited. I think the way I drive, because you got to pray for Darlene. I'm still a New York driver. I think probably every 6 hours, my angel in the car goes back to heaven and takes a break. They send a new one down. Because she could barely survive the way I drive. Amen? We were in New York City and preaching 2 years ago, and I had to preach in the morning in Queens and that night in the Bronx. And it rained. I think they had a tropical storm. And there was rain. I mean, 4 or 5 inches of rain. And so we just... The traffic was horrendous, and finally we got to the church, and there was no parking. I couldn't find, like yesterday, I couldn't find any parking. So I said, Darlene, hang in there. She said, I know you're in New York. I'm not going to say a word. I'm not. Normally, she's my GPS. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so I turn, I go on the sidewalk, and I park on the sidewalk in front of the church, on the sidewalk. She turned white. I thought it was her makeup changing colors, you know, whatever. I don't know. So I said, go ahead, go. I'll be with you in a minute. So she takes her shoes off. She has her Bible and pocketbook, and she's walking. Now, you figure, like here, you're going to open up the door. You're going to be in the foyer, right? Not there. As soon as she opened the door, she was in the church. She's standing there barefoot, holding her shoes, holding the thing, and they all look, and then they go, are you with Brother Ted? She says, yeah, how could you guess? Amen? But... You okay? All right. Now, think about Daniel, and I love that story. And Daniel 6:23 really is a key verse. Then the reason why God blessed him, because he had faith, he had trusted in the Lord. Amen. Prayed 3 times a day. Never stopped. Kneeling down, window open, facing the presence of God, where the temple was in Jerusalem. He was a serious man of God. Amen? Amen. Daniel, divine protection. From the God that you and I serve. Amen? And then I see in the power of God produces joy. The protection of God produces joy. But to me, sometimes all that you and I have, especially when I was grieving the loss of my first wife for over 2 years, the only thing that I had was the promises of God. It was His word that brought me comfort, just like He promised He would. And take a look as we finish up here. He says in verse number 20, he says, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." He said, boys, I understand you had a great time. You had victory, you know, and I understand that. But I'm going to tell you the one reason that you could always have a rejoicing spirit, because your names are written in heaven. Amen. So I don't know what you're going through circumstances-wise. It's all temporary. Just remember this. You are sealed until the day of redemption. You cannot lose the gift of God. And if you're a Christian, you're on your way to heaven. That gets you excited. Amen?
Amen?
Now, turn to 1 Peter. We'll close with this. 1 Peter 1:20 the word rejoicing means it's an experience of profound joy, of delight in God's love, His grace, choosing to focus on His goodness. Amen? 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read 3 through 9. I love the sound of those pages. It sounds like angels' wings in here. Amen? "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Amen. "Who are kept by the power of God." That should get you to be rejoicing. You're kept, you're guarded, you're protected by the power of God. That's why you can't lose it. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Now watch this. Look at verse 6. "Wherein you greatly rejoice." You got that, church? "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Now some of you may be heavy today. Heavy in your heart. There's something going on. Maybe a heavy burden you're carrying. God knows what's going on in your life. He knows what you need. He promises to supply every need that you have. Amen? Because some of us may be heavy about something. And it may be grief, sorrow, or you're just really concerned about a loved one. But God knows. Amen? "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perished, though be tried with fire." Church, I'm telling you, for 2.5 years, my faith was tried in fire. I believe I was sifted like wheat for a couple of days by Satan himself when I was going through the darkest time of my life. Just be careful. Don't turn your back on God, especially when you need Him the most. Because He didn't turn His back on you. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus." Whoo! He's coming! And we're going! Amen! Look at verse 8. Let's read this together. "Whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Are you ready? If you're saved this morning, whatever God hopefully showed you from the Word, maybe you never saw before, maybe you just need to be reminded, hopefully that stirred up some joy in your heart and realized that you are going to heaven. You're not going to lose that. But this morning, if you're not really sure about going to heaven, maybe that's why you don't have a rejoicing spirit. Maybe that's why you don't have that joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And I'm going to turn the invitation over to Pastor Sal. And I pray as we close the service today and prepare for the next one at 5 o'clock, I pray that you would leave here rejoicing. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Father, thank you again for this day that you've given us. And Thank you for your word. It is more precious than gold. It truly is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And thank you again, Lord, for the gift of salvation through your Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Ted. Appreciate that. Joy, joy, joy. Deep down in our heart.
Amen.
And when you get it that deep down, not many things that could affect it. I like where I read in the book of Isaiah where it talks about being in the Lord more than ankle deep. It's kind of like being in water. When you're in water that's ankle deep, it's easy to get out of, right? You can easily step out knee deep. You can easily step out. Getting up to your waist, a little harder. Up to your chest, it's even harder. I like to be in over my head. In the Lord, over my head. Did you ever hear this? Boy, he's just too much for Jesus. I wish that were true of me. I'm not enough for Jesus. I want to be. But I know this, when he puts that joy deep down in your soul, there's nothing that could affect it. You know, but that's where you got to get it. You got to get it deep down in your soul. And that's what our brother preached about this morning. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice, rejoice. Let's stand together. Church, I'm so glad you were here this morning. I really pray that you were encouraged. Brother Ted's got a ministry of encouragement. I used to say this years ago, I'll never be able to go down in history as being a great preacher or a great soul winner, great anything. But if I could, if somebody say to me, Pastor, what would you like to be known for? I want to be a Barnabas. I want to be somebody who's known for being an encouragement. We can all be an encourager, right? And Brother Ted is an encourager. You get around him, he's an encourager. He likes to eat. You got to feed him. But if you feed him, he'll encourage you. Amen. I hope the message was a blessing to you today. Again, thank you for joining us online. I'd like to invite you, if you're able, to join us in person. You can go to our website for further information. The address of our website is openbiblenj.org. And there you'll find information about our church. You can listen to other messages that have been preached and just get a feel for Open Bible. You know, here at our church, we want to lift up Jesus. We want to make much of Jesus. And our prayer is this. Our prayer is that the message of the gospel becomes a personal reality in people's lives, in your life. And so we're here to assist. We're available during the week. And if you just reach out to us, we're more than willing to talk with you, maybe pray for you, pray with you, however we can be a blessing to you. We're here to serve the community. And so, again, thank you for joining us, and I pray that you'll come back and join us again. God bless you.